Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson. And now Steve Jordahl joins us.
Yo.
You actually have a Paisley shirt today.
I do have a Paisley shirt on. My lovely and talented wife went shopping for me online.
I like that shirt. My two favorite colors, black and blue.
Yeah, because you did mine too. They were prevalent on my body when I was growing up as a junior higher.
Okay, you took a beating
every so often. Yes.
All right, Steve. Where are we going?
Well, I just wanted to, just before we really get a whole started, this is just a shout out. Just a question to all our South Carolina listeners. Anybody seen a jet?
A fighter jet?
A fighter jet, yeah. This is an $80 million stealth jet, apparently flying on Sunday. Ran into some problems. The pilot ejected.
Safely.
Well, yeah. Taken to a hospital for evaluation or whatever, to the infield care center, as they would say in NASCAR. But they've lost the jet. It's a Martin F-35 Lightning II. And if you found this jet, would you please call 843-963-3600?
That number again
is 863-843-963-3600.
I'm thinking there's a couple of lakes around where this occurred, so I think it's sitting in some deep water.
Wow.
But this is kind of serious side to this. They better find this thing fairly quickly because there are instrumentation and other things on these fighter, very sophisticated fighter jets. You don't want anybody just
top secret. Yeah.
Taking pictures.
Was it, did it have weaponry, armed weaponry, or is this just a test flight? I mean, you don't want, sidewinder.
I don't think it was carrying nuclear weapons.
No, I'm talking about sidewinders anymore.
I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway, so folks, if you're in that area, Marine Corps Air Station, Beaufort?
Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay. Beaufort.
Yeah. Beaufort. Yeah. All right.
So the American hostages in Iran are landed in Qatar, and they are on their way back home. So Iran is getting five of its prisoners back. We got five of theirs. And, oh, by the way, we're going to send them $6 billion in unfrozen funds. At the same time they're doing this, Iran has withdrawn the designation of several inspectors assigned to conduct verification activities in their nuclear program. So they're cutting back on the number of people that can inspect their nuclear program. According to most analysts, they have the plutonium for several bombs. They're 2 weeks away. If they wanted to build a bomb, they are 2 weeks away from getting functional nuclear weapon. They have now hidden it by firing the inspectors, or basically saying they can't enter the facilities. And by the way, they have $6 billion that they can now play with to help along the way.
You know, Fred, I think most people look at the human side of this equation and say, look, if you can make a trade 5 for 5, the Biden administration is touting the fact that the president is making five families whole again. Hmm. If that's all the president had done, I would take a moment and say, well, look, that's for those families. That's what they want, their family members back. Good on you, President Joe Biden. But that's not all he did.
No.
It should have been a 5 for 5 swap, and that should have been the end of it, to unfreeze $6 billion to be returned to a nation that is a state sponsor of terrorism, that has stated its goal to wipe Israel off the map and exterminate them. This is a horrific decision. And I'm afraid, according to what Steve said, and I certainly don't doubt this, that Iran is going to become a nuclear-armed nation on the watch of the Biden administration.
It is a terrorist-sponsoring nation. By the way, the five Iranians that were being held here, two of them want to stay in the United States.
Yes, and they are, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to stay in the United States. Another one doesn't want to go home, so that's three of the five don't want to go home to Iran.
I wonder why.
That ought to tell you something right off the bat. Also, the White House is toting this $6 billion in Iranian assets that were being held in South Korea. I think Qatar is now going to be the go-between right. in this. However, what the White House is saying, it's supposed to go to humanitarian needs, like food, like housing, whatever the case may be, in Iran. And that, so don't worry, it's not going to go into the clutches of the military establishment in Iran. Even if that was true, and I don't believe it for a second, even if it was true, that still frees up $6 billion in Iran's bank account to use for nuclear weapons.
Absolutely.
Money is fungible.
It's fungible.
It's kind of like, you know, our government gives $500 million a year to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And they say, we're not using it for abortion. Well, they may not use that for abortion, but it frees up lots of other money
right.
for them to use. So don't believe this dog and pony show from the White House that, don't worry, the $6 billion is not going to be benefiting Iran. It is. Do not forget, Iran right now is a partner with Russia.
Right.
It is helping the Russians kill Ukrainian citizens. Russia, China, and Iran are all in bed together, folks. This is what's going on. They hate Israel. They hate the United States of America. And this deal, I can go with the swap, but I can't go with the $6 billion. You just can't keep doing this. The other aspect is Iran got the best of this deal. It knows this. What's stopping Iran from grabbing another five Americans somewhere?
That's right. What I was going to say.
And
if I was an American abroad, I would keep my head on a swivel.
Yes, very much.
Or you just don't, you either don't go to Iran, or like you said, if you're in a nation in the Middle East where they can still reach you,
mm-hmm.
don't go.
I heard the Iranian president himself, and I didn't bring the sound in, but I heard him say through a translator, we are the Republic of Iran, and we can do whatever we want with this money.
Yes.
So
of course, that is what they're going to do. This, I don't know anybody who believes the Biden administration, which is made up of lying dog-faced pony soldiers.
Yes.
Okay, if they expect us to believe what they've said about this $6 billion, this is the potential for horrifying consequences for Israel, for us, and for other Western nations should Iran get its nuclear weapon, and more so, giving it to some terrorist state or some terrorist group to detonate somewhere where there are a lot of people. This could ultimately be a devastating thing that the Biden administration has allowed to happen.
I will say that if Iran, by all accounts, is 2 weeks away from a nuclear weapon, Israel is a week and 6 days away from going in there and stopping them.
Yes.
I don't think they'll stand for it. So,
well, and they understand what Iran has said before.
Mm-hmm.
High-placed officials saying that they're going to wipe out Israel. Wipe yeah. Israel out off the map. They know their existence. Israel knows their existence is at stake.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
All right. Hey, the state of California, the attorney general there, Rob Bonta, has filed a lawsuit against oil companies and the American Petroleum Institute. They're suing ExxonMobil, Shell, BP, ConocoPhillips, Chevron, and the American Petroleum Institute because they haven't paid enough attention to global warming. In fact, they say, says Bonta, they've been deceiving the American people about the dangers of global warming.
Is this by the way, you may not know, is this a criminal case or a civil case?
It's filed in Superior Court. They're asking for money.
Okay.
They want to set up a fund. They want your gas money to go yes. to help cleanup because of all the disasters they say that's happened because of global warming. You asked in our story meeting what charges. I was having a hard time coming up with anything because no one's really saying it. They're saying, well, they've hid the they knew and they deceived the public. I'm not sure that there's anything illegal about a company making false claims.
Right.
The cigarette industry for years knew the product caused cancer, and yes, they were held. They were put some stuff was put in place that they have to now acknowledge that.
Right,
and they probably have to do a fund to help. But the most AP is reporting this. This is the closest I could get to an actual what they're charging. Allegations in the lawsuit include faulting the company for creating or contributing to climate change in California, which I don't know. This false advertising. Maybe they can get that. Damage to natural resources and unlawful business practices for deceiving the public about climate change.
Well, Fred, this is one of those bizarre moments when ideology trumps everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the ideology of the climate change movement is now saying, number one, climate change is real. Number two, there are no people who disagree with that. And number three, we get to determine what the consequences of climate change are, mm-hmm. and we get to go after the companies that we think are bad.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all ideologically driven, and there's no stopping place. What would stop the government in California from suing individuals who drive too many miles in their car?
That's right.
You know, because you are contributing to climate change. You have your lights on too long, and the government then says, you know what, we'll tell you how long you can burn electricity, burn the lights. We're going to tell you how far you can drive because the ideology trumps everything.
Well, if you follow the reasoning for this lawsuit, what's next, fried chicken? Bad for your health.
Right?
Hey, chicken producer. You know when you deep fry that thing?
You're lying to people.
Yep.
Saying this is healthy.
And so we're going to hold you liable for that. I mean, where does it stop? You know, gasoline, whatever the case may be. The drivers, where does it stop? Like you said, you're going to limit how many miles people can drive in the month. By the way, this is actually happening.
Yep.
In London.
15-mile cities, I think they call it.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah. We're going to restrict you to how many miles you're allowed to drive every month because your car.
And if you want to go outside your little area,
yeah.
You have to get permission.
Yes. You're allowed outside your area 100 times a year.
Yes. Folks, we're not making this up. These are people who have a serious control problem.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So this is where these Marxist governments are. It's about control. They build up the crisis, quotation marks, of climate change. So we have to deal with it. This is how we're going to deal with it. Once they get in a feeding frenzy of control, it won't stop. That's what's happening. You mentioned what's happening in London. By the way, United Nations Assembly beginning today. Joe Biden is speaking up there. One of the themes of this particular assembly is working towards the 2030 agenda. If you're familiar with that, you've heard about this. This is all about climate change.
Draconian.
Folks. Yes.
Draconian regulations.
Restrictions, restrictions, restrictions on your personal life. They will not be happy until basically you're not allowed to leave your house without a government restriction.
Yeah.
And, you know, people may be saying, oh, come on. You know, this is America. This could never happen in America. Don't think that. Think pandemic.
Right.
Think pandemic, folks. The restrictions that were put in place for your good, as the government
and
said.
These restrictions we're talking about, London, Canada is toying with some of these ideas. Other countries in Europe, these kind of shrinking the neighborhood for where people can move and go about. These are Western countries.
Yes.
This is not Russia. This is not China. This is not North Korea.
No.
So
for the record, I just want to say that there is a good number of scientists, climate experts, who say that there is no crisis to global warming. Humans have no control over the temperature of this world, and by making plant food into poison, just calling it poison, it's a sham, and they're making it up. So it's not one-sided. Right. You're not hearing it, but that's what they'll tell you.
And you're not allowed to say it. You get if you take a contrary position, you will be quote unquote fact checked or kicked off social media platforms.
Oh, and it's worse than social media. If you are a scientist who wants to publish,
right,
you want any money for research, you have to toe this line.
Saw that a couple of weeks ago.
If you don't, they won't give you any money. You basically have no career left. So social media is one thing. All right, the homelessness issue in America seems to not be getting any better. Well, it kind of is getting better, I guess, for the homeless, at least in Denver, because someone walked by this homeless encampment and they found a bar. I mean, like where homeless people or anybody maybe could go up and they have all the alcohol bottles sitting out there and they're pouring drinks and mixing drinks for people. I mean, you know, you can't have a camp without a bar.
Is the alcohol free or are they paying for it?
No, I don't know if they're paying for it. They don't have money. These are homeless.
That's what I was wondering. These are homeless people that went into a store and walked out with alcohol and, of course, weren't arrested?
I don't
know. And then they set up a bar. So
that's one possibility. It could be some enterprising person that, a homeless advocate. I don't know.
Let me just tell you, I don't want the alcohol, but if someone opens up a free pizza oven in a homeless enclave, I might consider going there. You know, free pizza. That's going to be cheaper than free alcohol.
The bar features lounge chairs, umbrellas, AstroTurf, and all the liquor sitting out there. It's not so bad necessarily, I suppose, to be homeless.
That's a bizarre story.
Isn't it?
It really is.
I got another bizarre story.
And oh,
Fred,
good.
Fred has to account for this because, of course, it's happening in Canada. In Arendale School Mississauga?
Mississauga, which is a neighborhood of Toronto.
All right. The elementary school there has taken about 50% of its books off the shelf, and they have a new, what they're calling an equity-based book weeding directive.
Book weeding.
Weeding, as in pulling weeds, pulling books.
Anything
that was published before 2008 is gone. I tried to look up what was happening in Canada in 2008. There was conservative government there, but I didn't see anything like
maybe
a marker.
Maybe the Obama election in the U.S.
Maybe.
Is a marker?
I don't know.
But no books from before 2008?
No. Which means, by the way, that the elementary kids will not be reading about Anne Frank, for one.
Oh, and a lot of other classic literature.
Yeah.
And I know we're not saying that all the books that are being zeroed out from the shelves are conservative, but
no.
Wow, what a bizarre. So only stuff after 2008. So that means no Hobbit, no Lord of the Rings, no Fahrenheit 451.
This is the directive. The board shall evaluate books, media, and all other resources currently in use for teaching and learning English, history, and social sciences for the purpose of utilizing resources that are inclusive and culturally responsive, relevant and reflective of students and the board's broader school communities.
I would read into that that they're trying to rid their libraries of any conservative point of view because post-2008, it could be connected to the Obama election here in the United States. There's a video out there on YouTube of kids in Canada celebrating Obama's victory.
Mm-hmm.
So Obama was a hero in Canada, too.
Right.
Let's be very clear about that. They looked with envy at the United States when the United States elected. And it wasn't about Obama being a black person. It's what he stood for, ideologically speaking. All right?
A lot of us would have been happy to give him.
A socialist.
a
socialist agenda. It's still that way today. That's why they don't like Donald Trump in Canada. Because, look at the media coverage of Donald Trump when he was president. He interfered with that socialist leftist agenda.
Right. And exposed it.
So that's probably why. And that's probably why there's been such an abundance of left-wing ideological books that have come into the system since 2000 and 8, and that's why probably they're comfortable with that.
All the pornography books that they're, you know, talking about, all newer than 2008.
Right. Yeah. Canada is very liberal, especially in the big cities. You know, you take Toronto, you take Vancouver. But much like the United States, when you get into the smaller communities, they don't like what's going on either.
Well, this is unfair. I don't expect you to have these kind of statistics off the top of your head, but if you were going to give the percentages for liberal and conservative or progressive and conservative, what would be your guess, best guess in California, I mean in Canada?
I would say it's roughly a 60% liberal versus 40% conservative.
Okay.
People have to realize Trudeau won his last election with just over 30% of the vote. What happened was, it's a little bit of Israel going on here. Canada has about 5 political parties right now. And so there was a coalition that was built between the Capital L Liberal Party, of which Trudeau is the head, and what's called the New Democratic Party in Canada. And so they have linked up, and that pushed them over the 50%. But I'll tell you what, there is a conservative leader now in Canada. I'm talking capital C, Conservative Party. And if the election was held tomorrow, he would win.
Well, well.
He would win. They're starting to see Trudeau's popularity has absolutely plummeted.
Right.
The fossil fuel, the war on fossil fuels, the grocery store prices, all those sorts of things. Nothing speaks louder politically than money and how much you have in your pocket.
Yeah.
It's about the economy, stupid. What's his name? The Democrat.
Yeah, that was Bill Clinton's campaign slogan in 92.
Yes.
All right. We are learning more and more about our president every day. We found out the other day that he visited 9/11 the day after the attacks on the World Twin Towers. He has been all...
not true, by the way.
No. He was raised in a Puerto Rican neighborhood. Also, maybe questionable. But listen, these two things came over the weekend. We have... he was talking with a group of Jewish people about Rosh Hashanah, which started over the weekend. And then we also have him in Maryland on Thursday. He was talking. And I want you to hear what he has to say. Cut 10.
Our democracy is under attack. We got to fight for it. I taught at the University of Pennsylvania for 4 years.
He taught
political theory. And folks, you always hear every generation has to fight for democracy.
I might say raised in the synagogues of my state. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. But back in Wilmington, Delaware, Beth Shalom was the home of countless friends for me.
Raised in a synagogue. Taught at Penn.
He claimed to have been taught political theory for 4 years at the University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Not true.
No. No. Well, perhaps one of his students was Leah Thomas. Did he swim for Penn?
Yeah. And also said he was basically raised in the synagogues of Maryland.
Yeah.
I thought he was raised...
Of Scranton.
Oh, okay. Okay, Scranton.
He hasn't yet.
I thought he was raised by Puerto Ricans.
I think he was raised by wolves, but I don't know. That's me.
Well, listen, every week we have two, sometimes more of these where the president, this is the amazing life of Walter Mitty.
You
remember that?
Right?
Walter Mitty, the person who was always daydreaming about all the things he'd done. And that's what this president, we need to start calling him Walter Mitty. All right, that's all the time we have for this edition of Today's Issues. I'm Ed Vitagliano. I'm sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. Fred, thank you so much for being on.
You bet.
Our thanks to Chris Woodward. Steve, thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
Brent Creeley, our producer. Folks, more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye for now.